If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Be praying this morning that we'll be edified by the Word of God. In verse 5, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." And we pray. Gracious Father, may you open up your word to our hearts and understanding, that we may grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and be fed in the inward man. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the test of true faith, the test of our faith. If you notice this verse, Paul says a lot in one verse. The emphasis is, you heard before of hearing the word of God. What did he hear? The word of truth of the gospel. And the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And this is brought out all through the scriptures. I'll be emphasizing hearing, understanding, receiving, and bringing forth fruit. This should be true of every child of God's life. This is not just for some spiritual Christians. It's for all God's people. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13, 18 through 23. I'm just going to read the 23rd verse to emphasize the same truth that Paul mentioned in Colossians. And you can tell that Paul was taught by Jesus Christ because he says things similar to the Lord. You know, he says that all that he knew, everything Paul taught, he received how? By revelation from Jesus Christ. So actually, when you think about it, the teachings of Paul in his epistles are actually the teachings of Jesus Christ, his master, revealed to Paul. Paul didn't know these things, but he was taught those things by revelation. In a parable of the sower, it says in verse 23 of Matthew 13, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground." So you see, there's the word receive, received. "Is he that heareth the word." There's hearing the word. Now this is talking about you hearing it spiritually. You receive it, you hear it spiritually, and understandeth it. And there comes understanding with hearing the word, "which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Now, if you have received the word and you hearing the word and you understanding the word, what will be the product? There will be fruit in your life. Now, not all of us are the same. Some are babes, some are young men, some are fathers, some are mothers in the Lord. But there is a fruit bearing in all our lives. One of the fruit, we know the fruit of the Spirit should be manifested in all our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, with such there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So first of all, we hear hearing the word. Now there's many who hear the word preached. When Jesus preached to 5,000, it didn't mean all 5,000 heard it. They heard it physically, but only those who were born again heard it inwardly in their soul and understandeth it. Now, if you read the parables, you know there was the stony ground, and there was the other ground that was the thorny ground, and another ground that was not prepared. Only the good ground received the seed, and it sprung up, and they are the ones that understood it. So if you hear the word this morning, I pray that you are hearing it spiritually and that you understand it. Now Mark brings this out in Mark chapter 5, verse 20. He says, verse 20, "They hear the word and receive it." They hear the word and receive it. Are you receiving the preaching of the word of God? Not just mentally, but are you receiving it into your soul, that it's feeding your soul? When we hear the word of God spiritually by the Holy Spirit, it teaches us. And Paul says in Titus, teaching us to denying that the grace of God that appeareth to all men is teaching us to denying what? Ungodliness and worldly lust. God's word will teach us to be holy, to be like Christ. So you see, they hear the word and receive it. And in Luke chapter 18:11, again in verse 15, he speaks about the good heart and the good ground. We'll get into that in a second. Having heard the word, and then they keep it, and they obey it, and then bring forth fruit with patience. Is this true in our lives? As we hear the word, are we keeping it, and is it bringing forth fruit in our life? Now, this is true of every one of us. This is not just for the ministers. This is just not for someone who is spiritual. This is for all God born again believers. We're to hear the word. We're to keep the word. And it will bring forth fruit in our lives. Note the following. Paul brings this out in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. If you compare scripture with scripture, it's amazing how it fits together so beautiful. God's word doesn't contradict itself. It just, one scripture unfolds and explains another. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 4, 9. Those things which you have both learned, you got to learn something, you got to know something, and received and heard and seen in me, do, practice. And we'll go over that again. Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard. When you hear the word of God preached every Sunday morning or Wednesday evening, if you go have a Wednesday evening service or Sunday night, it's for the purpose of you to learn. It's a purpose for you to receive it because you heard it. And when you learn these things, you're to do what? Do. Practice. Practice. Paul says to follow me as I follow Christ. And the God of peace shall be with you. Notice again in verse 5 of Colossians, one we read earlier. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. You heard the word of truth of the gospel. Notice what he says in verse 6. He explains it again. It fits so beautiful. Which is coming to you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. What does the word of God bring forth in a Christian's life? Fruit. Fruit. As it doth also in you, since the day you heard it, there's one of the things, and knew the grace of God in truth. When you hear the word of God and you know the grace of God in truth, it will bring forth fruit in your life. So simple. Nothing complicated about it. Now it's God who's working in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. He that glorieth, let him glory of the Lord. It's the living word of God that's operating in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit that brings forth fruit in our lives. We can't take glory for anything. You know, some people believe the more obedient you are, the more blessed you are. Now, I'm not against obedience. We are to be obedient. But see, that doesn't always hold out. Now, can you think of anyone who was more obedient to his master than the Apostle Paul? But do you know of anyone in the Word of God who was more persecuted and beaten and stoned and blasphemed and hunted down and hated as the Apostle Paul? See, being obedient doesn't guarantee you no problems. Small blessings, you'll be blessed the rest of your life. It may be just the opposite. It may be persecution. It may be suffering for the cause of Christ like the Apostle Paul. See, we're to be obedient no matter what God blesses us or don't bless us as we think. Sometimes we believe if I obey the Lord, everything's going to be okay. No troubles, no trials, no tribulations. It may be just the beginning of your tribulations. But God's grace, God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. So remember, beloved, our obedience to Lord Jesus Christ cannot be based upon if I obey the Lord, he'll bless me. We obey the Lord because he is the Lord. Now, he can bless us if he pleases or not bless us. We've done what is our duty to do. It's our responsibility to be obedient to the Lord no matter what the outcome is in our lives. Now, there is blessings in obedience, the very fact that God gives us the inward peace and joy of the Holy Ghost in believing. But it's not a guarantee that we won't have tribulation in the world. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Beloved, one day we will be freed from tribulation. You will be freed from heartache and sorrow and mourning and weeping and heartache and depression and sadness when the Lord comes in his glory, his second coming. I wasn't going to preach on that this morning, but I want to do a little bit more studying. You think about the second coming. What happens when Jesus comes? What are some of the events that's going to happen when Jesus comes? That's what's on my mind, and the Lord continues. I will preach that one Sunday. Dave, you can preach it before I do. That's fine, too. We can never exhaust the Word of God. But you think about that. He's coming one day, and beloved, that trumpet's going to sound, and the graves are going to open, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive, if we are alive at that moment, shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And it says over there that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. Death shall be destroyed. That's just a little review of that sermon, but I'm looking forward to that day myself. Hallelujah. As John says in the book of Revelation, even so come Lord Jesus. He's our hope. A glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The good ground. I want to emphasize a little bit on the good ground. The Greek word, geneo, meaning born again or born from above. Two things to me are clear. One is that the word is used in two ways. First, in quickening to life. Quickening to life. And we are in the passive voice. We're passive in quickening. When we pass from death unto life, we're passive. We have nothing to do with it. We're born again by God's Holy Spirit in an instant. And we don't know when the Lord does it, how he does it, but all of a sudden, we hear, we receive, we keep, and we bring forth fruit. And before that, we were like Paul. We rebelled against everything God said. In the second use of that same Greek word, we're active force. When the gospel is used to bring a quickened soul to peace with God in his conscience, he is active in believing. We're passive in receiving regeneration, being born from above, but we believe, not God. He gives us the ability to believe, but we ourselves are the ones who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that Paul one minute was on a rampage to destroy all Christians and anything against the name of Christ, and the second, and in just a moment he falls on his knees and says, Lord, what would thou have me to do? What happened? He was born from above. Then he could hear the Lord Jesus. He received his word. And he brought forth fruit. Lord, what would thou have me to do? What made the difference? The work of God in his soul. That made the difference. In regeneration, we're passive, as I've said. And this give you a couple of verses to go along with that. In 1 John 5:1, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that is begotten, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Whosoever believeth is present tense. Whosoever is in the present tense believing in Jesus Christ is born of God or has been born of God. It's in the perfect tense, which refers to an action which had been completed in past time. This completed action having a present result, the person was believing in Jesus Christ. So before you ever believe, you're quickened by the grace of God. And the second way it's used, Paul says, I have begotten you through the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4, I believe verse 15. That word begot means to bring forth. The gospel is used as a person who is quickened by grace hears the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They hear it, they receive it, they believe it, and it brings forth the fruit of conversion in their life. They're converted and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope of salvation. See, God gets all the glory. He said, my people shall be willing in the day of my power. He gives them a new heart and a new life so they can receive the word, hear the word, believe the word, keep the word, and they cling to Jesus Christ, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of the Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. We are adopted children of God, sons of God. We are children of God by love and by Father giving us to His Son. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons or the children of God is the way it should be translated, children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. When did he give his children to Jesus Christ? Before the world began. As I've said, if you want to believe in election, just read the 6th chapter of John and believe it. It's so simple. It's the words of the Lord. I'm putting together all the teachings of Christ in one file, and then I'm going to index it to all the teachings of Christ so you can go and see any subject of Christ and everything he said about it. Everything. The teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important that we believe in Christ. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. But when you read John chapter 6, this is not the words of Brother Rhodes, Brother Forrest, Brother Parker. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world to reveal the mind of God. He said, of all which the Father hath given me, I've lost how many? None. And of all that the Father giveth me, he says, in the last day, I will raise it up. I'll raise them up. So everyone given to Christ will be raised in the day of the resurrection to the resurrection of the just. He's coming one day. It says in the Word of God, to all of them that believe and that admire him and love him. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he's coming for them that are his. His. How do we become his? We were given to him in the covenant of grace. We were given to Jesus Christ before the world began. He came into this world to demonstrate God's love to us with an everlasting love. God didn't just begin to love us when we believe. He loved us before we believe. He loves us after we believe. And he will love us throughout all eternity. What a love that is. No one, John said, behold, what manner of love. We will never be able to comprehend the love of God when you think about sinners as we are. Sinners. Dead in trespasses and sins. Filthy, rotten, wretched, ungodly, without God and hope in the world. That's how we all born. We're born in sin, as David says. And my mother conceived me in sin. A child is not innocent. Oh, it looks so sweet and so innocent. But that child is born in sin because of our union with Adam. We fail in Adam and become sinners. For by one man, sin entered into the world, and so death by sin. Death has passed upon all, for all sinned in Adam. You're not innocent, beloved. And that's the first truth that Jesus taught in some of his teaching. He didn't come to call the righteous, but who? Sinners. To what? Repentance. Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinful man. Peter, when the Lord blessed him with that big trough of fish and the boats received so many fish that they almost sunk. Peter fell down and said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Isaiah, when he was praying to the Holy, 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 he says, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm a sinful man. When you come in the presence of God, one of the first things God teaches you, your sinfulness, your ungodliness, you need to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. And that comes through quickening of the Holy Spirit. That gospel, when you hear the gospel, he brings you to repentance. Repentance is a gift of God. God gives us repentance. We confess our sins and we lay our all our hope upon Jesus Christ. It's simple, but yet it takes God the Spirit to bring it to pass in our lives. Now, how do you know that's happened? That's why I'm preaching this morning. Test of our faith. You receive it. You hear it. You believe it. You keep it. And it brings forth fruit in your life. Those things should be evidence in your life if you're a born-again, converted child of God. Now, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. There should be some evidence in your life that you are born of God's Spirit. Now, as you read the Word of God, God the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're what? That you're sons of God. That's why it's so important to read the Word of God. Because God will speak to us through His Word. That's one of the ways we know we're children of God. As we read it, we hear it, we receive it, and we obey it, and we keep it. It's an evidence that we're born from above. But when you read it, or you never read it, you never keep it, you never hear it, you never obey it, what assurance do you have that you're a child of God? Because God says, be not deceived. Book of James. Beloved, there must be evidence in your life that you are a child of God. And there will be evidence in your life. As you read the Word, you go to church, you hear the preaching of the Word, it will bring forth fruit in your life, I guarantee you, if you're born again, child of God. God, it's God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And we were created into Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God ordained that we should what? Walk in them, or prepared to walk in them. What a blessing it is to know that God is working in our lives. God loves us. He cares for us. And remember that someone every day of your life is following you. Every one of us being followed. When you go out this door, someone's going to follow you. And they got one purpose, is to destroy you. You should know who I'm talking about. Because he's seeking whom he may devour. As a roaring lion, Peter says, the devil, Satan, is walking around seeking whom he may devour. Never forget you have an enemy. We have an enemy. And he has one aim. He can't destroy our soul, but he's constantly trying to discourage us. Bring us down to cause us to not trust the Lord, to depend upon our own self-power. It's so hard to believe Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. To me, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own wisdom. Your own understanding. I got it all figured out. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, God Almighty, and He shall direct thy paths. We're all guilty of leading to our own understanding. We got this figured out. We'll do this, we'll do that. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning and doing things, but we should always seek the Lord first and say, Lord, you direct me in the decisions I make. Help me to make the right decisions. Young people, if I can tell you anything in your life to help you, seek the Lord in all that you do. No matter what it is, buying a home, buying a car, doing things, planning your family, your childhood. Seek the Lord before you plan anything. Lord, you know our needs, you know our lives. If this is not of your will, hinder this. Are we willing to say, I know Sister Mabel has such a struggle for a few years for that home she's in now, but finally God said, okay. But her faith and David's faith was tried. And I think they finally came to the conclusion, if the Lord blesses, okay. If he don't, okay. This is it. And then the Lord blessed them and gave it to them. I mean, that's the way we should be. We should trust the Lord. You have situations like your family problems, children. And I pray for my children constantly. And a lot of our sleep sometimes is more over their needs than our own needs. A lack of sleep, I should say. But to really trust in the sovereignty of God in everything. Do you believe the Lord is able to take care of Matthew, Jimmy's son, of David, Mabel and Dave's son, Kevin, Keith, Carl? God's able to take care of them? Gary, Jerry, Caroline, Sister Geneva? Each one of us that's here, is God able to take care of us? Amen. I'll say it then. Amen. God is able to meet every need we have, beloved. Every need. He's God, almighty, omnipotent, without beginning, without end, ever present. Almighty, he has infinite knowledge. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. He's already there. You're praying about tomorrow, he's in tomorrow. You're praying about next week, he's already in next week. You're praying about next year, he's already there in next year. Oh, if we could only believe how great our God is. Lay hold of that truth. Believe that truth. Oh, the comfort and that pressure would be removed from us. To really believe that he's able to do abundantly above all that we asked or think. Why is that possible? He's almighty, omnipotent God. As he told Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is your case bigger than God? Is your problem bigger than God? Is my problem bigger than God? Now, sometimes in my mind, my problem can, I dwell on the problem to the point that it pushes God out of the way. And I have to come back and refocus and get my mind back on the greatness of God to push the problem out of the way. Now, I have that problem. Maybe you don't have that problem. But I know some of you do. Because we're too human sometimes. We dwell on things to the point we get our eyes off the Lord. You know, Paul says, Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That means looking away from everything else and looking only to the Lord your God. Oh, beloved, childlike faith is what we need to simply believe God. Believe God. Jesus said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, everlasting life. But notice how he finishes this, and shall not come into condemnation, but is past tense, from death unto life. In other words, you were passed from death unto life before you realized that you had everlasting life. When you're hearing, when you're believing, you have everlasting life because you had already passed from death unto life in quickening, being born from above by the Spirit of God. Oh, what a blessing that is, beloved. The word hearing is in the present tense. Believing is in the present tense. Hath is in the present tense. But pass from death unto life is in the perfect tense, which is something that happened in the past time with present results, that you have everlasting life. When you're hearing and believing, you already have everlasting life. So everyone born, perfect tense, passive force of the Spirit in John 3:8. is a child of God and born again. John also in 1 John 2:29 brings out the truth. He says, "Note that the one doing righteousness is born of God." Now my question is he doing righteousness to be born again, or is he doing righteousness because he has been born again? The word "is born" is in the perfect tense, which refers to an action which has been completed in past time. This completed action having a present result, a person is doing righteousness. Now we're doing righteousness because why? We were born of God, Brother Dave. Past tense. So the evidence of being born again is what? We will be practicing righteousness in our life. Don't mean we'll be sinless, but there will be righteous acts in our lives. Some of those righteous acts will be praying, reading the Word of God, praising God, giving God thanks, singing hymns and psalms in your hearts to the Lord, coming to the house of God to hear the preaching and growing in grace and knowledge of Christ through the preaching of the gospel, communicating with the saints in our homes, visiting and testifying of the grace of God in your life. These are some of the righteous things that we can do, helping others spiritually. These are some of the things that should be in each one of our lives. Do you see these things in your life? Do I see those things in my life? Paul says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them." What is one of the first marks of a born-again person? They receive the Word of God, they hear the Word of God, they know the Word of God, and they do the Word of God. But Paul says those that are lost, it's foolishness. And they can't know it because they don't have a spiritual mind to understand spiritual things. God says in 1 Corinthians that the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, is them that are saved, the power of God, not to the lost, to those that have been quickened by divine grace who have been born from above. The gospel is to them the power of God unto salvation, to those who are quickened by grace and believe in Jesus Christ. The gospel, beloved, to you now as believer, it's the power of God in your life. Read it. It can transform your life. By the renewing of your mind, Paul speaks about. How is your mind going to be renewed? By reading the Word of God. Understandeth it. Just a few verses on understanding. Jesus said in John 8:43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." See how he emphasized it? Those who cannot hear cannot understand. "The eyes of your understanding," Ephesians 1:18, "being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Ephesians 3:4 says, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Colossians 1:9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Beloved, God's people will understand and hear the message of God's word. They receive it. They will believe it. They will keep it. And they will bring forth fruit in their life. And in 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding." He gives us an understanding about the things of God, "that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Who is the true God? Jesus Christ. Is God and man in one person. Sometimes it's hard for us to fathom the greatness of the Lord Jesus. That he was a human being just like you and I in one sense, in his humanity. But he was God in his person, in his deity, in his person, human in his humanity, in one person. And it's hard for us to comprehend that, but scriptures reveal it. The Son of God, who's eternal, in time became flesh. Because he loved you and I, he came for one purpose, to die as our substitute. He loved you and I until the end. He was willing to lay down his life, go to Calvary, suffer the wrath of God to the point where he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he loved you and I. Now we need to love him in return. He says, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We need to examine our lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Are we being obedient to his lordship? If God says no, you should say no. I don't care how much you want something, how much you may be tempted to do it. If God says no, it's sinful, avoid it. Beloved, it's our God-given responsibility as believers in Christ to say no to sin and yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be faithful. You know, I read that verse over in where Jesus speaks about denying yourself and taking up your cross and following him. What does it mean to take up your cross and follow Jesus? I was reading over in the book of Revelation. It says in Revelation that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And at the end of that it says, and they love not their lives unto death. We should be willing to die for the cause of Christ. Now I know that's difficult. We can't do it in the flesh, in our own self-will. Paul says over in the book of Acts, he said, don't feel sorry for me because I'm going to be beaten. He said, I'm not willing only to be beaten, I'm willing to die for the name of Jesus Christ. Are you and I willing to take up our cross and to deny the world, to deny the flesh? And are we willing to die for the cause of Christ? If not, we haven't come to the point in our lives we should be. And we all have to grow. And it takes a lot of God's teaching to bring us to that point in our lives. We have to mature. But that's where we should come to the point where, Lord, I'm willing to die by your grace, needs be, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus who loved us and died and gave himself for us. Lord, we just gave a little example of the things that should be evidence in our lives. We receive the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We understand the Word of God. We keep the Word of God. We obey the Word of God. And fruit is manifested in our lives. We thank you for working in us both the will and the do of your good pleasure. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we offer thanks. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?